About 20 years ago, my wife and I used to work for Boys Town up in Omaha, Nebraska. We lived in a home. We had 8 teenage girls that we took care of 24/7, 365 days a year. Every summer, we would take our kids up to Lake Okoboji in northwest Iowa. Boys Town had a small site up on the lake. It had been a motel back in the 30s and 40s. That the owner, when they died, had deeded to Boys Town. And so Boys Town had turned it into a retreat area that we could take the kids to for free. It was right on the lake. We had a private beach. Some other donors had donated boats so we could take the kids skiing or boating or tubing. And every year we would take our kids with some of the other homes, usually 4 or 5 other homes. So we had about 35 or 40 kids and 8 or 10 family teachers. And we would go up and enjoy a week on the lake, and every home got to go every summer. Well, in the summer of 1997, Jackie and I had taken our girls to the lake. We were out enjoying the lake one day. We had taken one of the speed boats out with one of our six of our girls, and we were tubing that day. We had this long yellow banana that we would drag behind the boat. Some of you may have seen those on the lake before. 3 or 4 people can sit on them at a time, and they ride it like a horse, and you drag them through the water. And we were out there for several hours, dragging the girls around, making them fall off, getting them back on again. And we'd had quite a bit of fun. We were getting ready to head in when the girl said, "Well, Mark, don't you want to ride the big yellow banana?" Well, who am I to say no to a big yellow banana? So I had been driving the boat all day, but Jackie said, "I can drive while you ride." So I swam out to the banana and climbed on, and she drove around for a while, dragging me behind the boat. After a while, I fell off. And Jackie, as she's driving, one of the girls who's watching says, "Oh, he fell in the water." So she began to turn the boat around to come back and get me. And as she was coming up to get me, I noticed that she was coming up with me on the wrong side of the boat. Proper boat safety is when you're driving a boat of any kind, when you're coming up on someone in the water, you should come up with them on the driver's side so the driver can see them the whole time. But she was coming up with me on the far side of the boat. When she got up to me, I was going to be in the wrong position. So I was waving to her as I floated there in the water with my little life vest. I was waving to her and pointing that she needed to get over. She was on the wrong side, right? And I'm waving and I'm pointing. And finally she sees me and she goes to cut across to get me on the other side. But what she didn't realize was how close she was to me at that point and how fast she was going with the full throttle. What happened was she hit me with the boat. I tried to reach up and grab the rail, but I was pulled under. And as I went under, I could hear the rotor turning in the water, and I knew that I was going to strike it coming out the other side. So I began to make a mental plan for what I needed to do because I was about to get cut. I hit the throttle and popped out the other side. The boat stopped, its momentum carried it about 50 or 60 yards from me. And as I popped up in the water with my little life vest on, I immediately began to feel around for where I was hurt. Right? I knew if I hit the rotor, I was cut. And if I was cut in the water, I was going to bleed. The water is unrelenting like that. It won't let your bleeding stop. You'll bleed out in the water. So I'm searching. I start with my hip because I can feel that that's where I've hit the first impact. And there's nothing there, and I'm reaching down my legs, and I'm patting all around, I'm patting my vest, and I'm feeling around. But of course, all my wife can see from the boat is my head, because I'm floating in the water. And I don't realize it because I am trying to find where I'm hurt so I can stop the bleeding. I don't realize she's yelling at me, trying to see if I'm okay. Well, after searching for about 30 seconds or so, I begin to realize I'm not cut. I'm okay. I don't think it got me. And about the moment I realize that and look up, I see my wife dive into the lake. Now, my wife was a lifeguard in high school and college at Lake of the Ozarks, so she's a fantastic swimmer. She did a Michael Phelps quality 50-yard freestyle to me. And she gets to me. By the way, she was not wearing a life vest. I had my life vest on. She gets to me and grabs me, and she says, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" Now by this time, I've had the couple minutes it took her to swim out to me to calm down, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, "I'm fine, why are you in the water?" To which she replied, and it's been 20 years, so I don't know that I have this verbatim, but I believe what she said next was, "La la la la." She was crying, she was hugging me, and I was reminding her she'd left the boat running with 6 teenagers in it. We swam back to the boat, and we figured out what had happened. When she struck me with the boat, unconsciously, because she doesn't remember doing it, instinctively, her hand pulled the throttle to neutral, which cut the power to the rotor. And so when I hit the rotor coming out the other side, it wasn't spinning anymore. It had stopped. It left a nice big bruise on my thigh where it would have cut me. But it was that single moment probably saved my life, because being cut in the water like that is a life or death situation. It is a tenuous, fragile relationship that we have with water. Water is the building block of life, the essential ingredient we must have to survive. Only oxygen is more vital to us. The water quenches, it nourishes, it provides sustenance in so many forms. From the waters, life emerged. It is the cradle of our very existence. From the beginning, humans have stood on the shores, looked out on the waters, and dreamed of the possibilities. The waters have taken us to the horizon and beyond. They have powered our inspirations and provided our hopes, but always we have known there is also danger, also tragedy lurking in the water. It is fitting that the lectionary chose this scripture today that speaks of the Lord in the flood, the Lord over the waters, when just 2 weeks ago, the waters rose up once again, broke forth from their banks, and reminded us of their awesome and terrible power. The power to take away, to destroy, to wipe clean humanity's mark. How many times have we stood at the water's edge and sensed the coming surge, the rising waters, the floodgates thrown open? How many times have the very waters that provide turned into instruments of destruction? How many times have we stood at the water's edge and realized the old gospel tune is correct? Something's troubling the water. Throughout the whole of our faith experience, the waters have played an integral role. The scriptures tell us time and again through the use of water about God, about our relationship with God, about the fragileness of our existence. In the beginning, when the darkness was over the waters, Noah and the ark, Jonah and the whale, Jesus in the boat, walking on the water. Time and time and time again, the waters have been a central player in the story of God and God's people. God has taken the people literally through the water when they escaped Pharaoh, when they entered the promised land. The water is the story of God's deliverance, God's redemption, God's salvation. Every time it looked like the waters would overtake us, God was there, God's mighty voice over the waters, the psalm says, guiding us through. You know, sometimes life is overwhelming. When I was a kid, I would look up at all the adults and I just assumed that you all had it figured out. That you knew what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and it was always going to work out okay. And then I made it to adulthood and I realized, you were all faking it. You were just treading water the best you could. The responsibilities, the requirements, the expectations, they can consume and overwhelm. They're like floodwaters that rise up, begin to touch at our chin, threatening any moment with another deluge to completely swallow us. And we tread frantically, just trying to keep our head above water. And for the most part, we do. until that one wave comes along. Many of you know, after Christmas, I went to Panama City Beach, spent a week on the beach down there helping my sister-in-law move in, and we got to go out to the beach a couple times and swim in the ocean, and it was only about 75, 76 degrees, which I thought was beautiful and warm, but a lot of people weren't swimming, and they said it was because the water was about 68 degrees, and I said, yeah, but that's not that far from the air temperature, so it doesn't feel cold when you're getting in and out of it. So we got in the waters. I like being in the ocean. Now, all the storms that were happening back here, the storms that stretched from Michigan all the way down to Texas, those storms were churning up the Gulf and giving us huge waves over in Florida. So we were out playing in them one day. My daughter and her boyfriend and I were out in the waves, and we were hunting starfish. The waves were rolling the starfish in, and we were trying to catch them before the next wave pushed them out of our reach. We were looking for seashells. I was only in about waist deep. And the reason for that was I had my glasses on so that I could see into the water, see the seashells, see the starfish. And we'd been out there for about an hour, right? Not swimming, standing, reaching into the water, grabbing stuff, searching for things. After about an hour, I decided that's probably long enough for me to have my glasses out here. I should probably head into the shore, take those off. As I turned to walk in, a 7-foot wave came in and hit me in the back, went over the top of my head, and pulled my glasses off into the surf. They were gone. Immediately, I was blind. Thrown into chaos and calamity, I was desperate and despaired. My whole day was now impacted by that one wave that I did not see coming. We tread water and tread water and tread water, kicking and flailing about, trying to keep our head above the surface, feeling the water lap at our chin, tickle at our nose, and then something comes along. That wave we don't see, and we go under. Perhaps we lose a job, lose a loved one, lose a relationship that was dear to us. We fail, we fall behind, we get overwhelmed, we get swamped. A dream is lost, a hope is crushed, a goal is missed, and our head goes under the water. And we panic. We panic. We cannot survive beneath the water. We cannot breathe. We cannot go on, and our panic grows to dread and despair and depression, and we begin to sink. Light grows dim, and the darkness begins to overtake us. The sound grows faint. The water is everywhere. It is in these moments that we most closely realize our need of God. In these moments when we cannot save ourselves, when we cannot pull ourselves up from the water, when we need God's hand most. And then we are being pulled up, rescued, retrieved from the waters, a hand stronger than ours grabs us and pulls us up to safety, to redemption, to new life. The story of faith is not a story of independence. It is not a story of self-survival. It is not a story of self-success. The story of faith that we follow is one of being rescued, being saved, being pulled from the waters by a God who saw us drowning and came to pull us to life anew. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Some of you are treading water frantically today. may not look like it. Those around you, those closest to you, probably don't know how close you are to going under. Like the duck on the pond, everything on top of the water looks calm, looks serene. But beneath the surface, you're scrambling like crazy to remain afloat. You can feel the waters rising, getting higher and higher, and you're wondering, terrified. What happens when the waters overtake me? The good news we share this morning is that our God is the God of the waters. Our God is the God over the waters. Our God is the God whose breath rolled across the waters at creation and brought life. Our God is the one who saved Noah when the floods came. Our God is the one who delivered Jonah when he panicked and ran. Our God is the one who reached down and pulled Peter up when he had stepped out in faith. That same God is reaching out to you today. As the waters climb higher and higher, that same God is reaching out to you today, offering that hand that pulls you up from the waters, offering that faith that does not fear the waters, but encourages us to wade in, to be pulled up again, to know that we are saved from the waters by the God that has always been over them. I know the waters are getting higher. I know you worry that soon they will see you go under. That they'll see you slip beneath the surface and realize you are drowning. But there is a hand reaching out. Reaching out for you. Take it. Take it and be saved. Take it and be pulled from the waters to new life.